is TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All righty, it's that time again, guys, for Go Yard, and we are very excited to be here with you again on the air, as we are every Thursday night, right here from TANTalkNetwork.com. These are actually five stations now, Bobby. It's great, isn't it? 3 AMs.
Beautiful.
Two FMs and the two FMs. So if you're listening on AM, you can go over to FM 106.1 in this area. And in the north area, it's Dade City, Zephyr Hills, 104.3 FM, plus all the FMs, or AMs, so five stations altogether. And, of course, some of our listeners listen on the weekends on Starcom Network, Starcom
Radio Network.
Radio Network, thank you, four words, .com, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And that's at noon every Saturday and Sunday. And with me, I'm Mama Mac, and with me is the famous and wonderful Dr. Angel Falzone, the very busy, busy person, as you are.
Busy and girl.
Yes, that's okay, isn't it? It's life. And, you know, it's fun to do this show, isn't it? Don't you look forward to
it? Oh, I love this show.
I love doing this show. 2.5 years into it. We're excited about tonight's show. We're starting to... mini-series. It's only two shows, probably.
Probably.
Or one. And that's really a mini-series.
That would be real mini.
Yeah, it would
micro.
Be. Micro. Micro show. Anyway, we want to hear from you. We are live in the studio. You can call right here, 727-441-3000. And our famous engineer, Bobby, the sweet one, will answer the phone and pass you on to us, or you can tell him what you want to say, and then he'll tell us. And that happens some nights, too.
Hey, if you don't want to talk on the air, I'll write your message down.
That's right, and you've been doing that the last few weeks, so we've had some of that going on, and that's okay. The other way to contact us during the show or anytime, 24/7, 365, is Google Text, and that number is 727-888-4171. So, Dr. Angel...
We are here.
We are here. Exactly. And we got a new series. And, you know, there's just so much that our listeners can gain by going here to the podcast and going to our website. Do you want to talk about that a minute?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we do have 2.5 years of great shows, great topics, great life topics with tools that really help you get unstuck when you're stuck. And when we are doing a topic, it may not be where you're at right in the moment.
Right, exactly.
But guess what? Life happens, and you have a whole library of great tools and supports to use when it does happen.
Absolutely.
That you will be prepared for. And we encourage you to use that tool.
Oh, absolutely. And for the most part, there are titles on, well, there are on our website.
On our website, yes. Yeah, so they're titled, so they can kind of narrow it down a little bit more by what they're looking for.
Right. GoYard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, not a .com. So that the titles help. Here on the podcast, after this show, it goes up on podcasts within a few minutes or a couple hours at the latest. So you just go to TANTalkNetwork.com, go to the section podcast, and go to Go Yard, and there's the show. And it's just a great technology, the fact that we can listen again and again to these topics that will help us.
Absolutely, so, it is. It's definitely a great resource.
It really is. So We are excited about this show. And the title is, Dr. Angel?
Freedom of Contentment.
The Freedom of Contentment. There you go, Bobby. That's a bell ringer.
And it really is.
It is freedom, isn't it? It's freeing.
When we are content. Yeah, there's a huge freedom in that. So, and that's where we want to be. That's the Go Yard life.
It is the Go Yard life. And why did we name the show Go Yard? And I like to remind people of that from time to time because some of them may not understand even what it means.
Well, Go Yard's a baseball term. That means hitting a home run. And so we want to hit those home runs in life. We don't, you know, we don't want to strike out or get the hit bunt and just get to first base. We want to live life and live it well.
That's what it's all about. So that's our goal here, to always to bring you some quality programming where it will help you in your daily life. Dr. Angel is our resident expert with a PhD, and also she's a licensed mental health counselor and also works full-time with 20-some, 28 counselors under you?
A whole bunch of them.
She's a busy girl.
We grow all the time.
Yes, that's cool. So you have a wealth of experience, and I believe that really helps when we do a show like this. Mine is mostly pastoral counseling and years of real estate, 26 years of that. Plus, we're both mothers, and me a grandmother, and you not yet. And
no.
That's okay. That's okay. Okay, so why is it important to be content? And what does it really mean to be content, Dr. Angel? Because some people may not have any idea what we're even talking about. That's not a common word, contentment.
You know, it really isn't a common word. And the funny thing is, when I was preparing for the show, when you Google contentment and define it, it tells you the state of being content. And I'm like, oh, that's such a great definition.
Don't you love when that happens on that?
Yeah, that
there's a few dictionaries out there that just love to use the word. And
doesn't even explain it at all.
So what we're talking about is the state of being happy or satisfied.
Okay. Happy or satisfied. That happiness is different than being joyful, right?
Absolutely. You know, happiness is kind of more of a temporary emotion. That's joyful is kind of one of those more character emotions that kind of lingers longer. But that's where that satisfaction kind of comes into this definition, because you're satisfied. It doesn't mean your life is perfect. It doesn't mean everything is problem free or you got it figured out. It just means you're accepting the difficulties and you're satisfied with what you have in your life.
That's contentment.
That is contentment.
Why is this so important? Why are we doing a show or two on it?
Well, because our culture.
Good question.
And our society sets us up for discontentment.
Yes.
We are given messages of discontentment every day, every time we pass billboards, every time we turn on and hear commercials. Those are all advertising telling us how we are not content with what we have, but if we get their new product or this new thing or take this fabulous vacation, we're going to be content.
That's in the undertone, right, of all of it. And sometimes it's just like right out blatant, they say something like that.
Yeah, sometimes it's very blatant, but that's kind of the whole purpose of advertising is saying your life isn't as good as it can be because you need XYZ.
Right.
Whatever that is, and there's millions of products that do that. And so what they're doing is they're giving us this obstacle of always looking at things and feel like, oh, I'm not satisfied. I should have this, or I should take this vacation, or I need this new line of clothing or this new line of makeup or whatever it is
that's really a good
we're
point.
Being sold.
Right.
And we're constantly feeling discontent. We're taught to be that way.
You know, I never even gave that much thought in life. Honestly, this kind of surprised me because you usually put together the outlines after, if we have even an outline. A lot of times we don't even do that. But when I read this today and I thought, yeah, you're right. We are kind of trained by advertising and our culture to think that we haven't quite arrived there.
We're not good enough, or what we have isn't enough. It's just not enough.
It's not
enough.
And
we're not happy, but I'm going to tell you, they have what will make us happy.
Right.
So then we run to the little store.
Only $29.95, right? With three installments.
Plus shipping and handling.
Of course.
And then we run to the little store and we order this product because this is going to be the happiness. And we use it, and then we realize, first of all, it's not.
Right.
And then someone else has something else that might make us have it. So then we're running over there. And so many people buy things they never need or never will use for the lie of contentment.
When I was real young, my kids were real little, I remember buying some of those exercise things on, you know, late night TV. You know what I'm talking about? One of them was one of these ski pole type things. That thing didn't want work at all. At all. And I mean, you know, belly busters, you know, things like that. I bought a few of those years and years ago. I don't fall for it anymore, but a lot of people do. I get your point. It's a good point.
Well, that's how all these companies are making lots and lots of money is because we do fall for it.
Right.
And we believe this lie that this will make our life better. So we're not happy with the way our life is quite right now. We're not content. And so we're trained to be discontent.
And I mentioned this bumper sticker I'd seen around town a few times, a couple shows ago, about it says the one who dies with the most toys wins.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that just really gets me every time I see it. I don't see it very often, but once in a while. And it just reminds us that so many people are just into how many possessions they have or how many, you know, how big the house is, how many square feet, whatever.
Right. But here's the bottom line. You're still dead. And doesn't matter if you have one thing or 1 million things. Dead is dead.
Dead is dead.
You know, so... You're right, but our culture, especially the American culture, is very wrapped around teaching us that we are just not happy and we're not content, and they're trying to constantly make us get there with emptiness and empty promises that can't give it to us.
And how many times have you bought something and then a day or two later you're like, why did I do that? Why did I spend
that regret?
Regret, you know, that... It's that moment, that getting you in the moment there.
That
where
buyer's remorse kind of hits in and you're like, oh man, I really couldn't afford that.
Right.
But it's going to make me happy or feel more satisfied. And so it's really hard to be content in our culture.
So are you saying that possessions don't make you content?
Absolutely not.
They do not?
Absolutely do not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So why is it so important to even think about being content? And why are we even doing a show on it? There must be some benefits or we wouldn't be sitting here tonight at this table.
Absolutely. There's a lot of really good benefits for contentment in our life. First of all, it reduces our stress level. When you're totally discontent, you're not satisfied. You're always looking for that thing that's going to make you feel that way.
Right.
And so you're spending money that you probably don't have, and you're using resources and time and energy, and then you're getting that disappointment when you've used that and you didn't get what you were looking for, that result.
And I know we talked about this in a few shows ago about people who have somewhat of like a shopping addiction, that they get such a high from going and shopping and finding a bargain, or not even a bargain, buying, and you know, that's what they do in their spare time. It can be an addiction, can it not?
Oh, absolutely. That can be an addiction. And, you know, and the thing is the more discontent we are, the more we feel like if we just won the lottery, it would make us content.
Right.
If I could just do this. And so we're constantly if in that mode, and we're just never in this moment and okay with where we are right now.
That's spending your life for whatever you can acquire, right? That's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely. And it's a bunch of empty promises. So then we're disappointed and we're back to square one because we're not content. So there's a lot of stress around that, financial and time
that makes sense.
Emotional. And
racking up the credit cards. Stressful.
You know, and it doesn't always have to be things. Some people think if I were just married, I would be content.
Or if I just
had a child, I would be content.
Right.
Or, you know, it can be all kinds of anything you want to fill in that if I had, I would be content. Is a lie.
If I had, or when I get that, then I'll be okay.
And everything will be okay. And it's not true, and it's a lie. And, you know, and I think we'll see, because we have a lot of people, you know, with stardom in our culture that were once regular, normal people like us. All of a sudden, they hit it big, and they have millions of dollars in fame and notoriety, and they are some of the most miserable people alive.
And that is very true. And so there is this thing in our culture that if I just hit it big, or if I just had that windfall, I would be happy. That would bring me the happiness I want, or the contentment.
True. So then when they have that windfall and they don't get the contentment, then they start leaning towards substances and other things to kind of pull those feelings out, because they've been thinking their whole life that money or fame or notoriety or whatever was going to give it to them, and it doesn't.
And it doesn't.
It can't.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have a lot of, you know, people who win the lottery. The research shows that within a few years, most of them are worse off financially than they were before they hit the lottery.
It's hard to imagine, you know, but yeah, so, I've heard that too.
A lot of Hollywood stars, we hear them die constantly.
Yes.
Drug overdose.
Oh, my
drug
heavens.
Overdose.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes. It's so sad.
Contentment cannot be found in our things.
Okay.
It's not something we can go to the store and buy.
Okay.
So why we want it is we want to reduce our stress level. The second reason why contentment is important, because it improves our outlook and our perspective in life.
Okay.
When you are just satisfied with where you are and what you have, you don't have to constantly be looking toward what you don't have.
Right.
So you're looking at a more positive perspective.
Exactly. And that's so much healthier than constantly being upset about where you are.
Right. Because you're always looking at what I don't have, what I want, what I'm trying to attain.
Don't you think a lot of that comes from our, you know, our inner circle or people around us, maybe in our work or place, environment where we are, where we see, a lot of people see and they are envious of what somebody else has. Or you mentioned some people want to be married and they aren't. And that just makes it looks like, wow, that's such a great life. And when it may not even be that for that person at all, your friend, you know, it's just... It's that envy.
What
I mean?
And what happens is we kind of blow the other person's what they have that we don't up to make it
seem
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't realize the troubles and the strife and the stress that they have because they have that thing.
Right.
You know, it's funny because I work with a lot of people. And when you talk to people who are single, a lot of time they're focusing on, I just need a life partner. I need to get married, or I just need someone to live life with me. Then you talk to married couples and they're like, oh, I just wish I was alone.
Yes.
It's so true. And I'm like, y'all just need to start talking back and forth because each person is envious of the other person's status and they don't even know it.
But again, it's that old, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence concept for so many people.
Right. It is. So when they get the green grass, if they get there, they
get
realize
there.
Under that green grass is a whole big pile of septic tank that made it so green. And that's what I love to tell my kids. The grass is greener over the septic tank. Remember what makes it green. Fertilizer. And it's
there
true.
There you go. Okay. All right. But it's true that so many people live in that mentality. If only I had this, or if only this happened to me, then I would be happy.
Constantly. Where they're constantly looking for it. Why do you think the lottery makes so much money?
Right.
Because they're looking for that.
Exactly.
You know, and culture knows it. They train us to do it.
Right.
And they're giving us this messages of false hope constantly.
Right.
And we're buying it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Wow. So it's very important that we have this topic tonight because a lot of people in our audience now or later when they listen really do need to understand what contentment is and that you can have contentment and not even have very many possessions.
Absolutely. It is totally not dependent on anything outside of yourself, which is really cool because that means everybody can get there.
Yeah.
You just have to want it and work for it. And we're going to get to how later. But another benefit, it's relaxing to our body to be content.
Oh, that makes sense.
When you are discontent, you are more stressed. You're stressing your muscles. You're going to have more tension and back aches, headaches.
Yes,
all that.
For sure.
Relaxing our body, reducing our stress relaxes our body, helps our body function better, and we feel better.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It makes us enjoy our life a little more.
If we can be content with what we are.
You will enjoy what you're doing in the moment.
I've got to bring a Bible verse in here.
All right.
Okay. And it's Paul in the New Testament, and I believe it's in Philippians. And he said, I have learned that no matter what circumstance I am in, therein I am content.
There you go.
And he goes on, he was talking about if I have a lot of money, if I have a little money, if I am doing great, if I'm not. And you know, that is really where we need to be. Whichever circumstance, we're content. If we're living on this earth, we still have life and breath in us, we should be content.
Absolutely. And then I'll hear people say, well, Dr. Angel, you're teaching us all the time to make goals and to strive and plan.
Oh, they get you.
That's not content. But that's not necessarily true. I can be satisfied with where I am and who I am today and still make goals to make those improvement in the future. That means I am living in the moment and planning for the future.
That's the key right there. Living in the moment, because so many people are not, people that you've counseled, I've counseled, they're not living in the moment. They are living in the past with regret. They're living in
the future with I need this and I'm wanting more, more.
Right.
And so that contentment, and one of the best, biggest reasons why contentment is that there is freedom with contentment.
Contentment,
it's a freedom of who you are and enjoying who you are and the life you're living and the life you are destined to live. And it's just that
freedom of who you are. All right. I think you're right very much about the culture of movie stars, that kind of thing that presents to our culture and little kids that you should look like this. Everybody has to look like this. I mean, you know, some women are not built to be 5'10 and weigh 120 pounds. You know, that's just not their body build. It's not mine.
Correct.
You know, and yet we see little girls strive to not eat much because they want to look like that model. You know, that's really a serious issue with a lot of little girls.
It's a serious issue with not
teenagers.
Just girls, boys too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's just it. Our culture tells us what we should look like.
Right.
What we should talk like, what we should, our stance should be like. Our culture sets us up. And people are always looking at us to measure us against that culture.
Yeah, they do.
If we fit that schema for them. And that's not how we should be.
No.
That's not how we were made to be. We weren't made out of a mold. We're not cookie cut design. We're individuals.
Okay, I got to bring the Bible back in here, but not a specific verse. The book of Proverbs, I've just been reading it a lot lately, and it talks about inner beauty a lot. It talks about what's going on the inside of you. Are you honest? Are you, you know, are you content?
Are you content? And you know, and that inside is really what we're striving for.
Right. And that inner beauty. And, you know, that's something as parents, grandparents, we need to stress with our kids coming up that that's the most important thing, our character versus our outward appearance.
Absolutely. You know, you can be, you know, Miss America and be a lion snake and you're not. There isn't beauty in that. You can't be trusted. You know, people don't want to be around you. That beauty is in our character.
It is in our character.
And so that is why contentment, to be, have the freedom to be
who we are. It's a good show. I like that. I like this topic. This is good.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's freeing. It's liberating, you know, because so many people are bound by not just culture out there, but even family expectations and things that they feel like they don't measure up and not as good as your brother who graduated from, you know, where or wherever, you know.
Absolutely. And we're constantly, and people are constantly measuring others based on this. And we're constantly measuring ourselves based on all these. And, you know, here's the thing. No matter what we achieve and what we attain,
right,
there are going to be people who are critical of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's always going to be somebody out
once
there.
Once you realize, first of all, everyone's not going to be content.
Yes. Right.
It comes about, what about my contentment? What is it I want to do? What is it I believe is best for me? Who am I? And those are where I can be content and the rest of the world can think what they want. And that's okay. That's their freedom. But it doesn't change who I am.
Boy, that's so good. We've got to go to break. But don't go anywhere, audience. You need to stay with us. We got a lot more to talk about on this new hot subject here on contentment. And call a friend and have them join us. Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full moon Blue Mansion. And I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday
this is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Bobby came up with both of them. I love them. That first one, Live Life Like You're Dying, right?
Well, live, and that's the key.
Yeah, live. Right. Yeah.
And
oh,
live,
my.
Yeah, and then we are the ones that make our own change.
Right.
Thus.
We are. Yeah.
I love that. You know, it's funny, as I was listening to the songs, I was thinking of a story of a couple that I had known, and they had married young right out of high school, and they had came from poor families, and they wanted to be successful, so they started a business, and they poured their heart and soul into growing, and their business was growing, and, you know, it often would talk to them, and I'm like, oh, you guys, do you go on vacation? Oh, no, we have to work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, around
the
clock.
Gosh.
We are going to retire when we are 45, and we'll be able to just live all the life we've ever wanted to live. And before the lady's 40th birthday, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer and died. And they never lived what they worked so hard for. So we can plan for the future, but we still need to live in the moment.
Yes. And so many people, and that goes along with this, so many people are just so, shackled to their job. That I've been accused of that in years past when I was doing more real estate than I am now, that, you know, I was working 6-7 days a week, and, you know, that's all that work ethic and that do the next deal, whatever. It is very consuming, and it can grab you.
It definitely can grab you, and we have to learn to be able to put it down and take our breaks and to limit it, take our vacations, spend our time with our family, spend our time with those that we care about.
Right.
Because we aren't promised tomorrow, and neither are they.
Well, I remember one time in particular when my kids were in high school and I was doing a real estate deal, late high school, early college. I was doing a real estate deal playing golf with them, and I'm getting ready to putt, and I'm talking to somebody. And it, you know, like the kids were going, seriously, you know, why did you even, you know, and I'll remember that day forever because they were right to say, no, you're not going to play golf with us and be on the phone doing a deal right now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But yeah, sometimes we don't see that for ourselves.
Right.
And I get it. Work can be
overwhelming.
At the end of the day, it's not our contentment. It's not who we are. And we have to learn to have a balance with it.
Yep, absolutely. And so what does determine happiness or contentment? It doesn't have anything whatsoever to do with different circumstances in our lives. I mean, I think we've been talking about money, but is a person that has a job they really enjoy, are they more content probably than a person who's stressed out at work and has to do that job because he owes so much money and he has to do that kind of thing?
So, absolutely. So, the person who's doing what they love to do is going to be more content if they're making, you know, poverty level wages and they enjoy what they do, and compared to the person who's the executor who's making, you know, the six figure salary and they are pushing that envelope and not enjoying what they do, there's a different contentment level.
And you need to listen to the show that comes on right after us, right, Bobby? Give a plug for Gene.
Yes, the Employment Opportunity Hour at 7:00 on Thursdays.
Yes, and because that's Gene's whole premise, correct?
It is, doing what you love.
Yeah.
And
find what you love, and then that becomes, it's no longer work.
Exactly.
You know? It's just fun, you know? It's just, and so, yeah, these are very important points.
So, well, there's been some research on contentment. Contentment's been a topic that science and psychologists in particular have been very interested in because they've noticed interesting patterns. Because the things we would think people would have that would make them more content have they haven't been content. So, you know, scientists do a lot of qualitative research. They're talking and interviewing and doing surveys on people who are beautiful, just that people would think are beautiful. You look right. at that person, you're like, wow, that's a beautiful
yeah.
person.
Right.
And they have found that their contentment level is very low, lower
Whoa.
Than someone
Seriously.
Who we might would look at and say, oh, they're not beautiful.
Right.
You know, absolutely. They have some of
really?
The lowest content values.
That's very interesting. I did not know that.
Absolutely. And also money. We think people who have the money, oh, there's contentment. They have money. They can buy whatever they want. They can go on vacation. They can be content. They have lower contentment values.
Oh, my gosh. That's interesting.
Absolutely. And so research was showing that actually people who make less than $65,000 a year have yeah. a higher contentment values.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
That is. That,
because we would think the opposite.
That flies against what most people would think, right?
Yeah, because they're thinking, if I was yeah. beautiful, if I had, you know, a beautiful face and whatever, or if I had that hair like her, or if I had that paycheck like him,
right.
oh, I got this. Life would be great. And so science has showed us that's not true.
Okay.
Totally the opposite.
Wow.
Not true at all. And so...
Okay, so what are the priorities of people that are content? I mean, what makes you, as a counselor, as okay. a licensed mental health counselor, how do you know when you got somebody sitting there in your office that has problems with contentment? I mean, probably there's obvious things, probably, but...
There's a lot of obvious flags, because contentment is more of a personality thing. It's something okay. within us.
All right.
And so we can be going through problems and still have contentment in our life.
Right.
So it's kind of more this thing, and it's this character trait kind of like inside of us. It's how we start looking. We'll start noticing by perspective and views, because content people seem to look more positive on things
oh,
or to
yeah,
look for solutions
definitely.
On things.
Yes.
More content people seem to think there's more hope that, yeah, we
right.
can get through this.
Yes.
I just need help.
Right.
Whereas discontent people are more naysayers, very negative.
Fearful.
They don't want to make a step or a change mm-hmm. in a direction.
Yeah, right.
And so it's very easy to mm-hmm. make that, you know, dissection between who's
yeah.
has some life contentment here and who does not.
Right.
And unfortunately, the majority of people we work with do not. They don't
right.
have life contentment, no matter where they are in their life. And so contentment is not based on anything we have. So being born rich or beautiful or living this, you know, luxurious, stress-free life on the beaches in, you know, some lovely island does not mean you're content.
Okay.
The reality is that anybody can have contentment, because it is
okay.
something found within those. And so
right.
actually people who
That's
are
cool.
less beautiful, who make less money, who have, you know, tend to have higher levels of contentment, believe
exactly.
it or not.
Yeah, that all of that explains why I am content.
Does that explain it?
Yes, it does. Okay, which is true, I am. Anyway, okay, so talk to me about what makes up these content people. What are they like? What did they, maybe our audience can relate to this, if we talk about some of the things that they consider important in their lives.
Oh, absolutely. So content
Because it's
people,
not shopping and
no.
it's not being the cutest, brightest, whatever, you know.
No, and it's actually funny because HGTV, the Home and Garden Television
yeah.
Network, has started
yeah.
this show about tiny houses.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
So it's about people who...
Now that I could not be content.
This is extreme I'm going
it's
for.
It's extreme.
But
300
it is people,
square feet.
Some people have had massive mansions on the show that
right?
have built this 500 square foot little tiny house.
Right.
But the contentment level of them making that life change and realizing their happiness and joy wasn't wrapped
up in the house.
This that they had
right.
did increase it. And so people who have contentment, you'll see them devoting more time to their friends and family.
Okay.
The
because they can't stay home in their tiny house because there's no room.
No, but
there's
that was an interesting thing to watch. Some of these people with massive mansions buying these
tiny. We're talking.
Is there middle ground?
I know. There's got to be.
But it was interesting to hear their reasoning why, because they were feeling so discontent in their life and they needed to simplify and
right.
find back to basics for them.
Right. Right.
Extreme way to do it.
Yeah,
but I get that search.
I think what it happens is, like with some of them, nature is what they really... Makes
they
them
like,
feel content.
Yes, be outside.
So they don't really, you know,
they
just have a bed out in the woods. That's all that
right.
really matters
yeah.
to them.
That's very true for a lot of people.
That is true.
Yeah.
Good
point, Bobby.
And when we're content, we feel fulfilled
yeah.
within who we are. And when we feel fulfilled, we have extra to give.
Right.
And so we want to foster relationships in our life, and we want to connect with other people.
Okay, interesting. So are you saying that people who are not as content tend to isolate?
Well, they may either isolate.
Oh, they may.
Or,
her answer is going
on.
To be. They it could is. Be that way.
Or sometimes they kind of leech onto other people trying to get their contentment filled through them.
Yes, 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 yes. I've known about people like that.
Yeah, they kind of become like those little sucker fish. Uh-huh. They kind of leech on and they're trying to suck all the contentment out of other people or get their needs met.
Right.
Yeah. So it could go either way.
Like an algae eater is what
they Yeah, those little algae eaters. They're like little sucker fishes because they don't give anything. They just take.
So algae eaters are really discontent fish.
They really are. Well, maybe the human
They might
form
be the happiest fish
they
on there.
They might. You be too. How do we know? Research. Is there any research on that, doctor?
Not that I know
Not
of.
Not that you know of. We stumped her, Bobby. We stumped her. There's
That's
no
good.
There's
could be.
No
research. Could be.
Could be out there. Yeah, that could be. All right. So what do content people do then? What do they do with their time? What are their values?
They really appreciate just what they have. They appreciate the things that they have, as many or as few as that means. They appreciate it. They're not constantly out there looking for the next best thing or the newest thing or the, you know, they just appreciate what they have.
I think you and I both are content with having lived in big houses at one point in our lives and had a different lifestyle, both of us. We're content with what we have.
Absolutely.
1,400 square feet.
You know, and it's funny because
I'm very happy with that.
I'm super happy. And it's funny because I'll hear people like, oh, we're building this big old house. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, all that cleaning you're going to have to do, all that dusting.
I'm sorry for you. Yes.
I did kind of feel a little sad for them, but they'll figure it out because
everybody
has that false thought of bigger is better.
Sure. Okay.
Content people, they have an optimistic outlook.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Good
or
bad, they're kind of. Right. Given more optimism in it.
Exactly.
And so we can tell by that. They have a sense of purpose, whatever that purpose is.
That's interesting.
So if they are loving to garden and they find their purpose in gardening and they're very content with that, whatever it is that they are doing, it may be their occupation, it just may be their hobby, there's a purpose in that for them and they found that purpose.
That's cool.
People who do not have purpose don't feel content because they're constantly trying to figure out what that purpose is. So they're trying to get more and bigger and better, and it's money and it's status and it's whatever they think purpose lies in, and not looking deep within for their purpose.
And for me, and I've seen a lot of people like this, Bobby made this point, and I think you're exactly right, Bobby, when people begin to connect with nature outside of their walls, of their job, of their home, whatever, when they begin to go outside, for me, you know, we live right near the water right here, and that's where I go to relax, that's where I go to pray, to think, to plan, and it changes me. And I know there's a lot of people that don't have that appreciation for nature. That's just my opinion. I think Bobby was right on that.
That's true.
No, you're right. There's a lot of people who do not have
their
place.
And it broadens your horizons, doesn't it? I mean, when you're
My goodness. You know, it's so funny because I could be going through the most difficult of times in my life and get me to an ocean.
Right.
And it's like
the same way.
It just like sucks it out. It like sucks all the bad out.
I can rest and relax.
I come home to the same issues, but a different view on it.
That's
feeling
right.
Feeling about it. Yes. Like, it is very refreshing.
Totally. I totally agree, and I live that way, and you live that way, and I really think that's a good suggestion for our audience, that if you're feeling like, I don't know why I'm listening to this show tonight, but I'm feeling very discontent, start somewhere, get out of your, you know, four walls, get outside. For me, it's always been play around a golf or get on the beach and do something like that where I am just outside listening to the birds and all of that. It helps me tremendously.
Well, what you're doing is actually our next thing that we can tell when people are content is you're living in the moment. When you're in nature, it's very multisensory. So I'm going to kind of give you a little therapeutic.
Multisensory.
It's very multisensory.
It is, isn't it?
There are smells. There are textures. There are sounds.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of things that are a part of nature. So your multiple senses are intaking the stimulus at the same time. So it's a grounding thing. What we call in therapy is it's a grounding.
It is.
And you're in the moment. So when you're in nature, you are in the moment. that you are there. It brings your body to that time.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Today, my little great-granddaughter twins were at the house, and we were out on the porch where their little, you know, house, dollhouse is and all that stuff, and we were playing. And one of them said, "Ooh, listen." And I have a bird in a tree right behind the porch, and this bird was talking to some other bird, and they were carrying on a conversation, and the girls are 3 years old. They were fascinated by all of this. They stopped what they were doing to listen to that. And I said, these birdies are talking. And that was just a really good example of that. You know, nature right there, just outside the screen.
It is a great example,
you know,
of
it. It was right there.
And I think we miss a lot of that. And what nature does for us is it keeps us right here in this moment. It gives us a break from whatever is going on. There's like so many benefits to just finding your place. And they're like, well, Dr. Angel, Mama Mac, I don't live near the ocean like you guys do. Well, I'm sure you have parks or lakes, or it may be a water feature. It may just be a nature feature, but you have some kind of nature to grab a hold of.
That's right. Yeah. So that's take a walk in a woods. I mean, when I used to live in Indiana, that was one thing I loved to do, was just, you know, or go to a lake or do something different. You know, it is very helpful.
Absolutely. In fact, when I have a child home from college, and we were talking about when he was little and how we used to go for dinosaur hunts. And that's how I got the kids to go walking on nature trails with me. I was telling them, oh, we're going to look for the dinosaurs. Of course, they didn't exist. So they would walk the 2 mile trail, not realizing it.
Deception. This is really serious.
She dug a hole, put a little bone in there.
Yeah, she did.
It's like, go look over there.
Look there.
You hear the little trees rustle. Oh, my gosh, there might be one behind there. But they learn that love of being outside from dinosaur walks. That's just what we need.
Right. Yeah, whatever climate you live in, there's got to be something you can do. In the snow in Indiana, my kids used to go, you know, sledding and down hills, and it was fun. They were little, and they were wrapped up in all the little snow outfits, and they loved it. You know, it was good for them. So these are ways to achieve contentment. Give us some examples, and that's one of them right there, is get outside and do some different things,
Definitely, because it's getting us in that moment. It's giving us a lot of benefits behind that, giving us a break. So the ways to achieve a contentment, one of them is to minimize the clutter in your life.
Clutter.
And this not just is things. This is things, activities, and relationships.
Whoa. This is interesting. Yeah, clutter. Yes, this is very important because clutter does keep you preoccupied with whatever it might be.
Absolutely. So if we're
you're not just talking about a bunch of stuff sitting on your table.
Mm-mm. We're talking about the clutter in our lives. So many possessions. So there are things that, first of all, we have to finance. We have to put time and effort. We have to, you know, sort and organize. If we don't have it sort and organized, it's a time waster trying to figure everything out. It's too much for us.
Right.
We need to get rid of that clutter of things.
Okay.
The clutter of activity. Some of us just spend so much time bouncing from activity to activity to obligation to activity.
Oh, my gosh. You remember when your kids were, you know, in high school and junior high and all that? Those were really busy years for me. I mean, with kids with all their sports and all that, just go, 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 go. And a lot of people, they have that. They're in that right now, and it's tough.
They do. And so here's the thing. When you're go, 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 you're not content.
Yeah.
You're really stressing your body. And you're teaching, especially when you do it with your kids, you're teaching your kids that you have to go, 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 go. And they're not going to learn how to slow it down.
I think it's a thing in our society right now with especially young affluent families where they have to have their kids in every type of thing, every type of sport. And
you know, and I have 3 boys, and my boys did play sports, but I let them know you get to pick 1 sport a year.
Aha, really?
I will commit to 1 sport per child per year.
Wow.
Because I couldn't keep up with go, 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 go. And it's not good. They need to be bored. They need to learn how to occupy their time. I need to have downtime. I need to take care of things I need to take care of and take a long bubbly bath when I want to.
Sure, right.
And so, you know, committees and you know, PTA or whatever, find the top priority things that you need to do and let go of other things.
Good
point. It's okay for your kids to take a break this season. You don't have to go to all 4 birthday parties on Saturday that your kids were invited to.
My gosh.
I see kids bouncing to 4 parties.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. That's a cultural thing now.
It is. I'm like, pick one. Right. You can go to anyone you want, but one.
Right.
And we need to limit that. We need to limit us because we're going nuts with this.
That's really a good way to look at this, that it's clutter in our lives.
It is.
Because it's clutter for sure in our minds.
Our minds and time and energy. Absolutely. You know, and I, you know, I was talking with someone that they just have a lot of stuff going on. And it's like, well, everything's important. Everything may be important, but we can't keep up that pace. So we're going to have to find out what's the most important. Mm-hmm. What can wait?
Right.
And start learning.
But so many younger parents now want their kids to experience every sport or every, like, gymnastics and cheerleading and this and that. And because they don't want to deprive them, quote unquote. I hear that from people.
Right. So what we're doing, and I see that a lot because I do work with a lot of children and families. Yeah. And I do see this all the time.
Yeah.
And one thought is I don't want to deprive them. The other thoughts, I got to keep them busy to keep them out of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, no, you shouldn't be doing either one of them because you're hurting them. You're giving them a disservice because they're not learning how to self-occupy. They're not learning how to really commit to a team of people.
Right.
Because
sure.
They can't really commit when you have 10 other commitments.
Right.
Something's always going to have to slide to something else. We're not teaching them to set their own limits. We're not teaching them self-care.
Right.
And we can't have every experience. And what we're doing, and when we give them too much, their brain can't handle it. So now they have to raise their bar for excitement. And after experience comes substances.
Right.
So what we're doing is kind of setting them up.
That is a huge point. I want you to talk about that a minute. I don't care if we don't get any place else. Because I think, Doctor, you just hit on something that is a root problem in our culture. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely, because what happens when we give so many experiences and we're hitting that pleasure center of our brain and we're stimulating it constantly, we blow it out. And so to get that pleasure feeling, we need more and more. So it becomes more risk-taking behavior. So
right.
We'll see, you know, kids putting themselves in very risky situations for that adrenaline rush.
Right.
You know, jumping off of bridges, doing stuff some will die doing.
Right.
Or it'll be substances to get that euphoric adrenaline feeling that they would get from just participating.
That's a huge point right there.
So what we're doing is long-term harm to their brain.
So when we have them in too much and keeping them that busy, and some of it is status among some people, you know, oh, my kid does this, you know. And some of it is just, like you said, they want to keep them out of trouble and think that that will help them. But you're saying that's going to hurt. It'll go just the
opposite. Long term is not that way. And keeping them out of trouble means being a mindful, watchful parent. That's how
right.
we keep our kids out of trouble, not activities. Because
say that again. I don't have the bell, but maybe Bobby does in there.
I got it.
You got it?
Being a mindful, watchful parent is what keeps them out of trouble.
Okay. Being a mindful, watchful parent. Okay. Not
so
providing everything
being in the
they
moment,
want.
No. Being in the moment with your kids, knowing what they're doing, checking on things. That's what keeps kids out of trouble, having consequences and following through.
Through. Oh, my gosh,
Not keeping them so busy because they'll get trouble, especially if they think you're using activities to babysit them because a lot of other kids are in activities to be babysitting them as well. And so now we have a lot of kids together with non-adult supervision. So when you think they're doing the good thing, they're out, you know, smoking. How many kids are smoking reefer behind the bleachers at basketball practice?
Exactly, yeah.
Nobody knows this is happening. Why?
Right.
Because we're using activities to raise our children, right, instead of us.
You know what? We could do a whole show on that. I mean, we are right now. I mean, because that is such a huge point that so many younger parents don't understand, that it's really they need that downtime. They need that time to relax and get their homework done and not
be bored.
Rush. Or be bored. Oh, my gosh. I remember when my grandkids were littler, and I remember when my kids were littler, and when they would say, oh, I'm just bored. Oh, that just goes all through me. Then figure out something to do, you know?
Well, boredom is what fosters creativity. And I'm watching.
Oh, that's another bell ringer. Come on. She's full of them tonight, Bobby. Boredom fosters creativity. If I had a pen, I'd write it down.
There's a pen. Write it down.
Okay,
it does. So what I see is a generation that we're losing creativity in because they haven't learned to be bored.
Right.
When you're bored, that's when your mind starts to get very creative and looking for things outside the box. And
That's good.
You know,
that's good.
Boredom gives us opportunities to create.
Yes.
And kids to learn to create. That's where they get to make believe play and all.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And having bored times. Like I can remember when my little guys were little, I'd have one kid coming out learning, making up all of his own magic tricks and doing magic shows because that was his bored time. I had another kid when he was grounded from everything and he had a deck of cards and built a card tower. I mean, those are the creative. We need our kids to be able to do those things.
Yeah, my little kids and grandkids have been, they're performers, and they love to create a little play or, you know, act something out or sing with the end of a hairbrush as their microphone. And that's been something they've done for years. So that's really a good point.
Yeah. Having that brain break, that boredom time. And our kids today don't know how to be bored.
Boredom is a good thing.
Great thing.
It's a great thing.
Adults even need to continue experiencing this.
Creativity.
We just don't let ourselves do it.
I think a lot of, you're so right. And I think a lot of times we are so geared, adults especially, towards production. I got to produce. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. I got to do that. That we don't allow ourselves that time to just rest and.
No, because we're filling so much of our time with wasted activities and wasted things, and we're cluttering our whole lives. And then we can add the relationships onto that.
Wow. Yes, the relationships that cause all kinds of problems. Give me your pen. I know we need to know where we're going to start next week. I forgot my pen.
You know, toxic relationships. Yes. Those are those sucker fish relationships. Yes. You know who they are because they drain the life out of you.
Right.
We need to start decluttering those. Limit our time and energy and what we're giving to those relationships. Not have them.
We got to start there next week because that topic is bigger than the next 30 seconds. I mean, it really is.
It is. I agree with you.
And so, but you've said so many. Give us kind of hit the points, the highlights, if you can, of what you've been talking about tonight.
Well, we're talking about being content. We're talking about being happy and satisfied or satisfied. And so our culture is setting us up for discontentment, teaching us our lives will be better if we have this product, this friend, this relationship, this vacation. And to be content really benefits us, reducing our stress, improving our relationships, relaxing our bodies, giving it, you know, contentment is giving us a better quality of life. And how we are going to do that has nothing to do with what we own, what we look like. It is all within us.
Excellent summary. That's why you are the resident expert and why we appreciate you so very much. Week after week, you come up with all this wisdom. So tell your friends about this show and ask them to listen with you or go to our website, which is goyard2014.org. It's an ORG, and a lot of the shows are there. Good thing to do in the evening when you're bored or in the middle of the night. If you're not being creative with your boredom, then listen to a show.
Right? Sounds like a plan.
It does. So we will go on part two next week because we didn't begin to get done with what we wanted to talk about tonight. There's a whole lot more. Who are you and who have you been here tonight?
I am Dr. Angel.
Yes, and you are amazing. And I am Mama Mac, and this is Go Yard. And catch us again on the podcast here if you'd like to hear this again or tell a friend about it. It'll be up on podcast tonight. Go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, go to Go Yard. That's how you find it. See you next week on the weekend, 12 noon, starcomradionetwork.com. That's where we'll be Saturday and Sunday, every weekend. All right, have a great week and come back because we got a whole lot more to talk about contentment.
Good night.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.